say. Okay. Thanks.
You want to word it? Agree with the general direction that's been presented here by the committee, or agree with the general, well, I guess just that thing. Do you agree with the general direction of this committee, which is, do you understand what the general direction of this committee is? I think that's pretty clear. Or do you have another idea? So just be yes, you agree, or no, or you abstain. Is that clear? So those in favor of the general direction of this committee, please raise your hand. Madam Director? Those who don't like the general direction of this committee, please raise your hand. And those who are abstaining, please raise your hand. The abstentions win. What was the final, what was it enough to do? What? 4-7-13. Okay, so take it away.
Okay, thank you. Three quick things. One is, we stopped for our 10 o'clock as the fresh who mentioned driven who was going into America.
Okay.
Seberes. Da, o triful pravus.
Ok, triful. Serie. Chama aqui de...
Ah, não, não era de...
Não, era de... Não
era de... Não era de... Roger was saying you're on a treatment. Particular timings and still you are coming to... Your greatness. बिल्कुल फिर उतार स्टार
कोई बात नहीं
है टॉर्च लगा ना सर
अरे किसने
चांदी
हाउ मेनी डिवोटीज आर देयर फ्रॉम पुणे
वी केम अराउंड 25 डिवोटीज महाराज
बट सम लेफ्ट यस्टरडे
सम लेफ्ट या Because services are almost closing.
How many brahmacharis you have in Pune temple?
Pune, we are total around 150.
So you really want me to speak on this topic about Russian difficulties?
Yeah.
Oh. Everyone speaks English?
Yes.
Otherwise I will speak Hindi.
Hindi, English, both languages.
Yeah, but people in Hindi.
cold.
Yeah, I just need to call. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's always so nice to see you. My heart melts when I see you.
I'm so very grateful,
and
this is your mercy.
Really? No, it's a spontaneous reaction. I become so elated. Yeah, that's his mercy, definitely.
And your mercy.
This year, did you celebrate in a special? We in the festival we had a special sort of kirtan and his, and spoke about him because this year is the 10th anniversary of his departure, right?
Yes, yes.
So we had a special function during festival with almost 7,000 devotees.
Wow. Thank you very much.
So we.
Come to Russia.
Please, please come. No, please come with this course.
Yes,
I don't know how it, it will it be hampering to you to have translation or not.
Yes. Wonderful.
Okay.
Thank
you. Oh, where do we go? I see. Okay.
Come
and some
are you to come.
Okay. Okay, so what shall we do? Shall we wait?
No, no, we can
I'll just speak straight because there's no slate already. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshumilitam Yana Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Ladati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Srivishakaritamsha Hare Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Shabano Sute Nanamami Hare Priya Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Ajanamam Vitibhujokanaka Vadata Sankirtanaya Kapitaro Kamalaya Daksha Vishwambaro Dvijavaro Yuga Dharma Palamande Jagat Priyakaro Karuna Vatara Tantah Pravishyamam Vachyamam Prasuktam Sanjeevayata Kiva Shakti Darasvadhanga Anyamsya Hasta Charana Shravana Dvagadi Pranannamo Bhagavate Purushavatam So, you want me to speak about preaching in Russian? It's a vast subject matter. But definitely one thing we have to understand that it's very much different when you preach in a country where the culture is not so conducive to Krishna consciousness, to bhakti, when the majority of people is apprehensive about foreign religions, to say the least, where the general mood is very conservative and people in general are quite cautious about new things. So what I want to say is that it's the environment is different than in India. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes a very interesting statement in Sri Chaitanya Shikshamritam, I believe. Yeah, in Sri Chaitanya Shikshamritam. He says, what is the advantage of varnashrama system? Of course, in India, present India, there is no varnashrama system, but still some sort of structure is there, some sort of mindset is there, which is more or less varnashram mindset to a certain extent. It's still somewhere, if you scratch a little bit under the surface, you will find out some sort of traditional understanding. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he makes a very interesting remark in this regard. He says, although bhakti has nothing to do with varnashrama, and bhakti is totally transcendental to varnashrama, and bhakti is independent of varnashrama, still the culture of varnashrama dharma in one sense is beneficial or sort of auspicious to accept bhakti, and the transition from the culture of varnashrama to the culture of bhakti can be made very smoothly. The value system which is there in varnashrama system and the value which is there in bhakti system, they are not too much contradictory. Certain things are contradictory, certain things are opposite to each other. But in general, because in Prabhupada definitely he defined Vedic culture as sattvic culture, and we know that the transition from the platform of sattva to the transition of quote-unquote pure sattva, at least, you know, on the conceptual basis, we're following the practices of pure sattva, shuddha sattva, they're not so drastic. It can be made smooth, gradual, so on and so forth. He said that the people from other backgrounds can practice bhakti, no doubt about it. If they come from completely different backgrounds, they can practice bhakti, and because bhakti is transcendental, it doesn't depend on the background, it doesn't depend on the culture or anything else. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes a very important and interesting but in this regard. He says, but if people from other backgrounds, cultural backgrounds, practice pure bhakti, it will shorten their lifespan. And he gives an example of Jesus Christ. You know, basically what he wants to say, it's dangerous. It's dangerous to practice pure bhakti in a culture which is operating on a different values, which is actually not so conducive to bhakti. And this is a very, you know, he says it may be dangerous. It may be dangerous for the health, to say the least. It may be dangerous for your life. It may be dangerous in many other respects. In other words, there will be opposition. You know, here, where there still some remnants of Vedic culture are quite prominent in the society, to a certain extent. Of course, it's very quickly disappearing, even in my memory. But still, here, it is more or less natural. It's not natural. I know that the parents may be very vehemently opposing it, and so many difficulties may be there. That's definitely there. I've seen it. I experienced myself. You know, once I was living in one house in India, in Mumbai, in an apartment. And I was preparing something for my puja, and I was going and plucking the flowers in the yard, in the compound. And one neighbor, he came and he started yelling at me, yelling, what are you doing? You're plucking our... And I was shocked because I thought, you know, this is for Bhagavan, this is for puja, you should respect. No, he was very much against. So I can understand that there is plenty of demonic people here in India, because it's Kali Yuga, and there is so much this influence, materialistic influence in the people. But still, having said this, I invite you to Russia to taste something different. As I said, you know, sometimes people become really violent. And first of all, you know, as you know, Srila Prabhupada came to Russia in 71. In 71, Russia was Soviet Union, and Soviet Union was completely closed country. Second of all, Soviet Union was 100% atheistic. So much so that Stalin, the previous ruler of the country, one of the previous rulers of the country, he had a plan that he said that by 1936 there will be not a single man in the whole of Soviet Union who believes in God. That was his target, that was his objective. It was a state policy, state complete, I mean, it was very systematic policy to eradicate the very notion of God. You know, nobody could print the word God with the capital G. You can say God with small g and in derogative context. That's the only context which can be used towards God. I mean, it was outright atheistic country. Of course, what happened in 1936 when they finally arrived to this long cherished date, then still there were some believers, and not only in labor camps. There was plenty of them in labor camps. He put people in prison and labor camps just because of the fact that they believe in God. That was a criminal offense, to believe in God. You can sit in prison for 15 years because you openly admitted, at that time in Soviet Russia, in 1930s. If you openly admitted that you believe in God, you can be easily put in prison for many years. And I mean, heavy prison, heavy torture would be there. But what happened in 1936, it's interesting. In 1936, when the date came, by which time no believers in God should exist in Soviet Russia, Stalin realized that it didn't work. Still people believe in God. He couldn't do anything, so he changed his policy. What he did, he made all the officials of the church, he appointed all the officials of the church were supposed to work for the KGB, which is secret police. So he started to destroy the system from inside. And, it had a very lasting effect. But, 70 years, the Soviet regime was there, and ultimately it failed. It failed royally on all fronts. It failed royally on the religious front, practically in the beginning. They kind of reluctantly admitted that somehow or other they cannot destroy the faith altogether. The faith is still there. But amazing phenomenon took place when the Soviet regime was over in 1989, 1990, when Gorbachev came to power, all of a sudden, when the religion was allowed again, officially, all of a sudden, everyone became religious. Practically everyone, the pendulum swung from this direction to that direction. Because you cannot destroy the faith. As Sri Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita, Shraddhamayam Purusho. Purusha, the living entity, is made of Shraddha. Shraddhamaya. We are Shraddhamaya. We all believers. We all believe in something. Either we believe in Lenin or we believe in Krishna. But we need to believe in something. If we are tamasic, we believe in all this. You know, and the funny thing is that all these Soviet rulers, when they were trying to eradicate religion, they invented a new religion, they substituted, they basically made a cult. You know, they put Lenin in the mausoleum, and it was like mummy, he is still there, his body is preserved. So that what they want to say that he's still alive. You know, God is supposed to be eternal. So Soviet God is still there, he's eternal, so to speak. His body is there. It's a total gross misconception. They basically trying to do this the same sort of religious thing, but in a new shape and form. They don't like God, which is real God, so we will put our God, who will be for us. So then what happened in Srila Prabhupada, as I said, came in this era. And Srila Prabhupada made a statement, very prophetic statement and very profound statement too. In 1971, when he saw some military people marching in the streets, he said to Shyama Sundar Prabhu, he looked at him and said, it's all forced, this regime is only there because of the force, military force. It will be finished in 20 years. 1991, everything finished. Exactly 20 years. Prabhupada said, in 20 years it will be finished, in 20 years it was finished. But when he came, it was very unusual, and I will not go into details because you read the Salted Bread book, right? Many of you, some of you read Salted Bread book. So I will not go in this period. You read what it was like there. It was tough, and it was exactly as Bhaktivinoda Thakur said. You can practice bhakti, pure bhakti, no problem, but beware of your life. As far as practice of bhakti, I mean, it's amazing. What always amazes me is the face of first devotees. I was there at that time, and I was also practicing, but I was not in a prominent position, and I cannot really, you know, with all assurance say that I fit the bill. Those devotees were completely amazing because they had complete 100% faith without even, practically without even reading Prabhupada's books. Some devotees just saw his picture, and it was enough for them by seeing his picture to completely change their lives. I know one devotee, it's a very interesting example. He was a simple guy. He had family by that time, he had wife, couple of kids. And he was living in a village. I think he was in a pasturing ground or somewhere outside in the fields. And one of his friends, who was a truck driver, drove near to him and says, hey, I have a book for you. You must like this book. Somebody gave this book to me. I don't know what is it all about. I am not interested. And he gives him a little Ishopanishad by Srila Prabhupada with picture of Srila Prabhupada on the back cover. Horrible translation. Anyway, he gives him this Russian translation, Russian book. This devotee, this person who is not a devotee, he gets the book, takes the book, he looks at the picture of Srila Prabhupada. He never had any experience in religion, nothing. He looks at the picture of Srila Prabhupada and he pays his obeisances to the picture of Srila Prabhupada. He didn't know that he's supposed to do it, but instinctively, Krishna from his heart tells him, you pay obeisances. Krishna in his heart completely, completely supports him. And what happens with this devotee? His further history is interesting. He reads the book right on the spot, the whole book. He told me himself, he said, when I saw picture of Srila Prabhupada, I just couldn't believe my eyes, because I could see from his expression, from his demeanor, from everything, that, you know, he's completely pure. And he said, I never thought that such people exist in this planet. I was completely, you know, amazed. So he reads the book, and he reads at the end of the book that those who want to follow this path, they should not eat any animal products, they should not enter into illicit sex, and no intoxication, no gambling. So he goes back to home the same day, wife and two small kids, and said, no animal products. It means no milk, no butter, nothing. It's animal products. Nobody explained to him what animal products are. He said, for 1.5 years, his whole family was suffering because he didn't allow them to eat even little butter. He didn't allow them to drink even little milk. You know, all of a sudden, just like this, the same day. It's, for me, it's the proof. It's the proof of two things. The proof of the power of Srila Prabhupada and his words. Amazing power. Amazing power to instill faith into the hearts of non-believers. And the proof of the power of the super soul, which is completely helping Srila Prabhupada together with him. You know, because without this, it would not be possible. And only 1.5 years later, he meets a devotee somehow or other. And yeah, and just by seeing this book, he gets an idea. He says to himself, I will print this book. I will print his books. I will dedicate my life to print his books. To this day, he is printing Prabhupada's books. He started printing Prabhupada's books when you could be executed for printing illegal literature. In Soviet Union, as I said, it was criminal offense to believe in God. But to print something which is contrary to the ideology of the state, you know, you could have capital punishment for this. Easily. You could. Not necessarily, not 100%. So risking his life, he started printing Prabhupada's books at that period of time. I will tell one more little story about him. His name is Brahmananda. He's a very interesting character. He's still helping BBT to print Prabhupada's books. So somehow or other, you know, at that time, there was no... The Xerox machines were not allowed in Soviet Union. All Xerox machines were numbered. There were only few of them. Only very few organizations were allowed to have Xerox machines. And all of them were numbered, and all of them were strictly under the supervision of KGB. Every, you know, you couldn't have access, because they were very afraid that some other literature could be, you know, still people were typing this in the typewriters, you know, literatures, so many other things, you know. I know one devotee, he typed whole Bhagavad Gita in a typewriter. I don't know if you had any experience of typing it in typewriter, you know, you could have the blisters on your, you know, and they were horrible typewriters, you know. I remember typing this. But the whole Bhagavad Gita he printed on a typewriter. And sometimes, oftentimes at night, because it was a secret affair. Nobody should know that he is doing something like this. So Xerox machines were not allowed. Typewriters, of course, you couldn't do anything. They were allowed. But it was very difficult to print. So What to speak about printing press? Printing press was something, I mean, a printing press was, to have a printing press in your house, again, you would risk your life if you had a printing press. And of course it was not allowed and you couldn't get it. There was no money you can pay to get the printing press. So what he does, but there are some printing factories, official printing presses, and sometimes they, you know, old printing presses, they kind of, you know, they say it's old and they, you know, how you say it, write it off, that it's a garbage, it's not functional. So he goes to the director of this and he said, can I have one printing press which you will write off? The director, he says, you're crazy. What are you going to do with it? He said, well, I know what I'm going to do with it. Please. And somehow or other he deals with him and, you know, convinces him, gives him some money. And finally the director says, yeah, yes, you can have it, but I have nothing to do with it. We will put it somewhere in the garbage and you can just, or whatever. He arranges a deal with him. So anyway, somehow or other he puts the whole printing machine, the printing press, in the cellar of his house, in a village, very secretly. Nobody knows, you know, just a couple of devotees know this, few devotees know this, but it's very secret, top secret, nobody's supposed to know, because, you know, he's going to print, and he started printing Bhagavad Gita, Russian translation, when the first Russian edition of Bhagavad Gita was published in the West, Kirtiraj Prabhu was behind it and he arranged the whole thing. He smuggled one devotee from Russia and she translated the whole Bhagavad Gita and it was published ultimately in Russian. And somehow or other it was smuggled into Russia back and so, but still it was just few copies. And we need to distribute Prabhupada's books, and it was very clear. Prabhupada said, you should distribute my books. So he prints the books in the cellar very boldly without caring about anything. And at one point the KGB comes to his house. The secret police comes to his house. Somehow or other they found out, they had a suspicion. And when they come for a search. They can put all your house upside down. You know, when the KGB would come to any devotee home, they would confiscate practically everything. What to speak about printing press? You know, printing press is right there and you cannot hide it. You cannot put it under the carpet or whatever. It's a printing press. It's a big machine. It's right there. And you know, and he, inside his heart, he starts praying. He prays to receive the death, he prays to Krishna, to somehow or other. And there were some ladies, devotees, in his house. Two ladies. And these ladies, and they know that the printing press is there. They know that it can be very dangerous for everyone and had very big consequences for everyone. So they boldly came to this KGB people and they started yelling at them. What are you doing here? You are supposed to be a man, you are out there, you know. Only as ladies can do. No man can set such a show. You know, they put a show, this complete scene, you know. And all this KGB, they're not used to such kind of reception, so to speak. they're totally flabbergasted. They just, you know, and somehow they forget the purpose why they came, and they leave the place. They just couldn't. These two little ladies, they drove away. somehow or other, for years, you know, that went on, and he was printing Prabhupada's books in his cellar, and, you know, practically nothing happened to him. Of course, there were some things, but, you know, still nothing so severe. But anyway, I initially wanted to speak a little bit about the present situation, how we are doing now. And because you know the previous times, and now it is different. It's definitely much different. First of all, the laws are not so strict, and we are officially allowed to print our books. We do harinams on the street. You know, we do many things. We preach very actively. Prabhupada once said that preaching in the snows of Russia is sweeter than the sweetest mango in Hawaii. That was his quote. So, devotees, many devotees love to preach. You know, like we have one lady, she has her own Harinam group. They go on Harinams for 4 months in a row, summer months when the weather is reasonable. 4 months in a row, they go on Harinam, I think 5 days a week. 5 days a week they go on Harinam, on the streets. Just her own group, she inspires them, she kind of cultivates them. Sometimes new people come, they go on Harinam. Practically every day for 4 months. So officially we are allowed, but still, you know, as I said, the general mood in the country is very conservative and is very pro-Orthodox Christian, and you can sometimes feel with your skin the, you know, the vibrations of the people around you. They don't like, sometimes they say you're a traitor, but at the same time, you know, there is, it's, Russian society is not unified. There is a lot of people who are very fanatical Christians, many people. But a lot of people who are very broad-minded and very nice, and a lot of people who are interested in yoga, a lot of people who are interested in Indian spirituality, so many people, you know, you know, the Goa will be Russian state in India, first Russian state. So many Russians are there. So it's a mixture nowadays. Sometimes there is vehement opposition, but at the same time a lot of support from different corners of society, sometimes very unexpected support comes. What I can see that this is the greatest blessing of Krishna, that this opposition is there. Because if there was no opposition, it would be very bad for our movement. There is an English saying which goes, when the going gets tough, tough get going. So it really, when the challenge is there, when the situation becomes tough, then the people who are tough, who likes the challenges, and what I can see, I can say it about myself, you become stronger. You know, if the question which you ask, what it is like to preach when there is opposition, I said, that's the greatest blessing which you can have. Because if you meet the opposition and you counteract the opposition, it's difficult. it takes toll on you, because sometimes it's really painful, really painful. Even today, it's painful to, you know, to meet with some people who really hate you, without knowing you. Just by looking at you and seeing that you're different from them, they immediately hate you. I mean, it's difficult. But as I said, it's a blessing in disguise, because you become strong in your faith, strong in your conviction. You become very alert and very conscious of what you're doing. And you know, and if you meet some nice people, it's such a pleasant surprise. It's such a nice experience, and there are plenty of them. You know, that those devotees who distribute books, I don't distribute books generally. You know, I distributed books before, but I'm not such a big hero in this field. But they always tell the stories that, you know, you meet 9 nasty people who blast you, who blaspheme you, who yell at you, who hate you, or who ignore you, who completely, you know, sometimes they try to beat you, and then you meet one nice man, and it's enough. After 9 nasty people, you meet one nice man who is so receptive, who is so, you know, kind-hearted, who is so open. You know, it's a complete reward to you, and you feel that, yeah, it's worthwhile. It's people need it. And as you heard the other day, Padre Narayan Prabhu told the story, which is in Belarus, which is a kind of part of Russia. It's a separate country, but it's the same culture. You know, it's a real story. Some people, they are so lost in this environment, and when they see devotees, they really owe their lives to them. They were on the verge of committing suicide, and then they see devotees, and they have a ray of hope coming into their lives. So, anyways, I don't have any specific stories. I'm more a scholar than a story collector. Although there are far out stories, I love these stories when some Kirtan devotees tell these stories. I don't remember anything in particular now. What you should do, you should invite Bhaktiananda Krishna Maharaj to Pune. He speaks very little English, but even with very little English, he can tell a lot of stories about his experiences. I don't know how he manages to do this. I can't understand his English, but, you know, he can tell the stories for hours and hours and hours, what happens on the street, and so many miracles are there. And but in any case, my main point, which I want to say, that Krishna is there. He helps. In difficult situations, you can very acutely feel his presence. Definitely feel his presence and his involvement. That he is right there helping you if you pray very sincerely, and your faith as a result of it becomes stronger. You know, Krishna takes you to the verge when you have to surrender to him. You surrender to him and you feel that Krishna is right next to you, and he's protecting you, and that's the reward, and you become stronger. So please come to Russia and preach. You will have a lot of fun.
Yeah. I don't know what else I can say to you. Told a few stories, I told the principle behind it. And what I want to say, in other words, don't be afraid of opposition. Opposition is good. Actually, welcome any opposition to your life, because it's a direct involvement and direct mercy of Krishna. Any opposition in your life is ultimately for your benefit and for your spiritual advancement. And if you don't have enough opposition, come to us. Krishna is much more merciful in Russia than and it's interesting, we have quite a few, around 100 Indian students who became devotees in Russia. They came not as devotees, and they became devotees in Russia. And they all say, every one of them says, there is no devotees in India. All devotees are there in Russia. The devotion which I felt in Russia, I can't compare it with my Indian experience. I want to go back there. You know? There's no, I want to go. They still, all these devotees, most of them live in India, some live in America, some in Canada, some dispersed, but most of them live in India. Every year they meet, two times a year, and they just, you know, they're so bonded, and they go on pilgrimage or something, and you know, they all say our best days in devotional service when we were in Russia. So, but having said this, I must say that I completely disagree with this, and I think there's no devotees in Russia. All real devotees are here in India. So. Well, there are devotees in Russia for sure, but there's a lot of very. That's my personal experience, and I personally admire you. And I think it's more difficult for you to practice Krishna consciousness It's more difficult because it's not so difficult. Do you have some questions?
Hare Krishna, thank you for explaining this. The teaching activities going on in Russia. Maharaj, we heard a few years back there was a ban imposed on Bhagavad Gita distribution. I don't know actually what happened at that time.
No, it was not imposed. It was a move to ban Bhagavad Gita as it is. It was a very foolish move arranged by some, you know, some fanatical Orthodox Christian people. And it met a very strong reaction within even Russian society. Many people, we had, I think, around 30 scholars who met together, arranged a special conference and said, you know, they spoke very strong, they wrote a very strong letter, completely unsolicited. On their own initiative, that you can't do this, it's ridiculous. And then, you know, of course, you witnessed the campaign here in India. The whole parliament stopped its work and was only discussing this possible ban on Bhagavad Gita in Russia. Unprecedented. At that time, I was in India and I was visiting different members of the parliament, and they said, this is the only issue which united the whole parliament within the whole history of Indian parliament. That's the only issue which everyone was unanimous. Everything else, they never could come on board with any other issue. So it was not banned. you know, it was they tried, but the court, the lower court rejected this. Then they went to appeal court also, the higher court also rejected it. So it was unequivocally resolved in our power, which doesn't exclude us that next time somebody will take some quotes from Prabhupada's Srimad Bhagavatam or other books and try to ban these books, and has much more chances, because probably there will be not so much resistance from India and, you know, and many people. So it's a possible scenario, still possible. But people, our enemies, they do everything within their powers to stop us, and we do everything within our powers to please Srila Prabhupada, and we are careful, we are respectful. We really respect the country, the law of the country, the people of the country, the culture of the country. We try not to disturb people, but at the same time we are doing what we are supposed to do.
Most total, how many devotees like around in Russia and centers are there?
We probably have around 80 centers all over Russia. Most of them are not very prominent, but some of them are quite nice buildings, custom made for the temples. Not many of those, but a few of those are there. And the total number of devotees is very difficult to estimate, but I would say realistically, I don't know, you know, when we have this All Russian Festival, around this year around 7,000 people came, but it's probably, realistically speaking, it's probably maybe 10 or 15% of Russian population of devotees, so probably around 50,000. It's a very rough figure, but I would say that more or less around this figure, 50,000 people, somewhat involved in different extent to different degree. But we have people practically in every major city and many small cities as well. Groups of devotees practically everywhere, all over Russia. You can have home and stay and be welcome. And Russia is big. You know, in India you need, how many days you need to travel from Kanyakumari to, I don't know, to Punjab, Kashmir? How many days?
3 days.
In Russia, if you want to travel, you need 7.5 days. From one, or probably even 8 days. If from one side to another side, it's probably 8 days to travel by train. So to give you some idea, it's seven time zones. When it is 12 o'clock noon in Moscow, it's 7 in the afternoon in Vladivostok. Country. And you know, the very interesting thing is that I tell you one little story, a really interesting story. Somebody wrote me a letter from a prison, and he tells his life story. He was quite well-to-do man. He was steward or the one who goes in a plane and, you know, gives this. Anyway, he was well paid. His income was quite good. He had family, he had a son, beautiful wife, nice family, living in Moscow, having a well-paid job. And he became completely lost. He said, at one point, he writes to me, he said, I didn't know why I'm leaving, what for I'm leaving. I was, he was trying to search for it. He started reading different books, religious books, esoteric books. Still, he couldn't find answers. He couldn't really feel that this is something which he wants to live for. So he starts taking drugs because of complete hopelessness. And he starts taking light drugs, ganja or whatever, smoke, something, you know, and goes this way. And at the same time, he prays to God, please, if you're there, reveal me the real path. Please do something about this. And then, you know, at one point he becomes so emotional. At one point of his life, he becomes very emotional. He's alone somehow or other. He took some drugs and he starts crying and crying and crying. 4 hours he was crying. And then he said to God, whatever it takes for me to find the right path, I am ready to accept it. Just show me the right path. And he says this very sincerely, and then he had the second thought, what I'm saying, what is this? Something will happen to me. He gets this strange feeling that, you know, you can't pray. It's too dangerous, you know, you can't ask God for this. So in a couple of weeks, he kind of forgets about this, nothing happens in between, the life goes on like it was before. So what happens to him? His friend was selling drugs on the street, and he was caught red-handed. And when he was in the police, he says, I have nothing to do with it, and he gives the name of this person. He was completely innocent, he didn't sell drugs, he was taking drugs, but he didn't sell it himself, he was not a drug dealer. And police releases this guy, and somehow or other he disappears, and comes all of a sudden to the house of this person, and make a search and find some drugs there and arrest him. And very quickly, in a few, you know, in a couple of weeks or whatever, some time, he's sitting in prison still, you know, and he kind of feels God is responding my prayer. This is something, it's not something, he's totally innocent. He has, you know, all accusations are false. So anyway, the court case is held against him, and he's sentenced for 9 years. 9 years for doing practically nothing. You know, some drugs were found in his house, and, you know, his wife is pregnant. He says, you know, basically his whole life is finished. No work, no status in society. Most probably his wife will abandon him and will go to somebody else. Nice, beautiful wife. He's 30, little over 30 or something like this. And for 9 years he has to sit in prison. So in prison he continues praying to God, God, please, you know, if you put me in this situation, there must be some reason why. So on the same day, somebody gives him first canto of the second part. In Russian, first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is in two parts. So somebody gives him second part of first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. He reads this and he says, that's it. That's it. You know, can you imagine? You're sitting in prison, you're reading some, you know, second part of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, yeah, that's it. You know, he reads it all the, he reads it. Then what happened? You know, I don't remember exactly, but he basically, somehow or other, he gets all the books of Prabhupada in prison. And he has all time just to read Prabhupada's books because there's nothing else to do. And he just, he doesn't read them, he just gulps them. Like a thirsty person who didn't have water for years, you know. He says, that's it. He says, yeah, Jai. He said, this is the best thing which happened in my life. I was put in prison and now I came in contact with this knowledge. It's the best. Then somebody gave him Prabhupada's biography. He became even more impressed. The only one book which he didn't have is Bhagavad Gita. And everywhere he says the references on Bhagavad Gita. He didn't have all the books, but he had first canto, Prabhupada's biography, Krishna book. That's what he had. But not Bhagavad Gita. And he knows Bhagavad Gita is the basis, anything. So he writes to his mother, you know, my dear mother, he pleads to his mother, please, 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 give me this book. She writes him back, no, this is a sect. We are Christians. We have nothing to do with this. I will rather die than give you this book. Never in my life. Never. He's completely... So he prays to Krishna, please, somehow or other, do something. I need Bhagavad Gita. 2 weeks later, his mother comes with Bhagavad Gita and gives to him. She said, somehow or other, I thought, you know, there was a change in my heart, and I read this book, and I think it's a nice book, so please read this book. His mother yourself, who just 2 weeks before said, never in my life I would rather die than do this. Anyway, now, the reason why he writes to me, he wrote a letter to me by electronic means, the email letter. He said, sometimes I chant Hare Krishna mantra all the time and I read Prabhupada's books, that's the only thing which I do. And then he said, you know, sometimes we have internet connection. So usually it's at night. And so at night when we have internet connection, when we are allowed to use internet, I listen to your lectures on YouTube, and I decided that you will be my spiritual master. I completely surrendered to you. That's why I write to you, you know, this long letter, very sincere letter, really amazing story. You know. And he wrote a few more letters to me. So this is the preaching experience for us. We have some very special mercy cases. So why I told this story is that he says, you know, if I was free, I probably would not become devotee even if I met people like you. But Krishna knew what it takes for me to become a devotee, and he said, he answered my prayers in a perfect way. He reciprocated with me. So, Anyway, maybe we should end because it's already 8 o'clock and I'm tired. Thank you very much. So please go on with your practice and please try to be always grateful to Prabhupada and to his sacrifices and to what we have because of him. Sometimes we become too familiar with it and take many things for granted which are in reality are not for granted and should not be taken for granted. It's not a cheap thing which we have. And the more we sincerely appreciate the gifts which we received, the better devotees we become. So I wish you all success in your undertaking. Thank you very much. Shiva Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Krishna, so we would like to thank Maharaj. Actually, that Maharaj was telling that how they during that days where it was so opposition, so Maharaj also was there 1980 that time, and then later actually Maharaj took up a lot of responsibility, many Siberia and many other places Maharaj preaches and inspired devotees and Jaya Jeeva Sundara also. So even government has recognized giving him some awards, like how Indian and Russian relationships can be developed nicely. So they are so we'd like to thank, even after a hectic schedule, today was the most hectic day of the meeting, still Maharaj agreed and personally came and gave us association. Inspired us so much. So we would like to grateful and thank from the core of heart. Balavadi Shanti.
Hari
Bol!
Hari
Bol!
Hari
Bol!
Translated in Russian?
Practically all the books, all Prabhupada's books are translated. We still, Chaitanya-charitamrita complete. We don't have second volume of 11th canto and 12th canto I'm working on now. So it's only two books which are two books. Everything else is there. So I was helping in this regard. Tomorrow I have to go.
Okay,
I'm tired.
Maharaj, Harinam, how much time they do? For 5 days?
For a couple of hours every day. Couple of hours every day.
That they broke down one temple and they said that they they will give some other land to build a temple, but they are not.
We are working on it. We are working on it. Still not, but it may happen.
Thank you.
Okay.
We'll be doing book distribution in December.
Oh.
So from your lecture, we are all inspired.
Okay. Yeah.
We get a lot of inspiration from distributing books.
Yeah. And it's easier here. It is easier.
Like in our course, we will fully in book distribution.
На самом деле, после Веретина, согласно классической аюрведе, нужно полностью отдыхать в этот день.
Ну, он говорил, что лучше избежать всех собраний.
Ну да, да. У меня не только собрание было, и все лекции. Интересно, почему Садупрея не поднимает? Арешвари, позвони. Он должен знать, если что-то там. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Нарешвар джи, Харе Кришна.